You are listening to the Old School Movement podcast
with Daz, Chris, and Steve. You understand?
Today we have the king of the Beano, the man with the golden pen, the man who now runs when it comes to Dennis the Menace. It's Nigel Parkinson, ladies and gentlemen. Great meeting you at the Comic Con in March.
February, March.
Yeah. I got a message this morning from some fella saying his son is obsessed with what I draw in the Beano. He said, it's like Beatlemania on a Wednesday when the Beano arrives, he said. So there's still the excitement there, but you've got to just calm down. You know?
Yeah.
So here I am doing an interview, stoking up the interest again.
is it still available in print? Obviously, I haven't been to a shop, but it's still available in print. I know they do the online subscription now.
They do an online subscription, and it's also in print. Up until March, you could have got it in WH Smith, but you can get it in Tesco's and Asda's, you name it, you know.
I say it used to come with the newspapers back when I was there. It used to be delivered through the door with the newspapers.
A lot of people did that, yeah.
Or you get your annual at Christmas time.
Annual.
Christmas morning. The smell of the new book. Christmas morning. Oh, man. It's great, wasn't it?
You had more colour pages.
Exactly.
I loved an annual. Yeah.
Well, now we're in full colour every week. You've got to have one at Christmas, and you can still get it at Christmas. In fact, I'm just drawing today. I've been drawing for the 2022 annual.
Wow. Nice.
So you still draw for Beano? No.
Every single bloody every day.
that's great.
Yeah.
So that's a long... Yeah. When did you started for what? In the 80, early 80s?
I started in comics in 1980, and then I started the Beano a long time after, in 1996. But I've done a lot of things, you know, obviously, in the intervening years.
Yeah. Who was the first character that you ever drew and thought, I can draw comics, I can draw cartoon characters?
Oh, God, I don't know, because, you know, the funny thing is, I was very, very young when I started. My granddad died just before my second birthday, and I remember he was ill for quite a long time. I remember before he was ill, him showing me how to hold a pencil. So I was very young, and I just never really, I didn't appreciate until I started at school that everyone wasn't just drawing comics all day. It was just a thing that I always did. For some reason, publications, whether it was newspapers or magazines or comics or whatever, I loved them. And the thing that I could I could probably do that was comics, because it was aimed at me, you know, as a little kid. So I thought, I'll probably do that. And I never really grown up, you know, that's the thing. So I can't really say.
I like any of us do.
Well, that's why we're here.
Talking
about comics. Yeah, I know, at our age. But, you know, that's it. It was definitely something that I just kind of assumed I'd do. And I never really had any one moment where I thought, I can do it. I just, rather foolishly thought this is probably what I'll do.
How did you land in the hands of the great Beano comics and be a cartoon?
Right. Well, that's quite interesting, because I'd always made my own comics. And one day when I was about 13, a comic I'd made got into the hands of a guy from WH Smith's, who was like a regional manager, and he thought, this is all right, and he passed it on to the head of a publishing company in London, and he wrote to me and said, when you leave school, come and get a job. And I thought, that's all right, isn't it? You know, I can coast now for the next couple of years. You know. But I didn't. I ploughed on, you know, I pretended I was going to go to university and all that, but I didn't. And so I approached him, you know, when I was like 17, 18, and I said, how about that job? And he went, So I went to the Beano and said, can I have a job with you? And he said, no. And so I thought, now what am I going to do? So luckily, one of the people from the publishing company that had written to me when I was a kid, there was a new guy coming who was young himself. He was only about 25 at the time. I was like 19 or 20. And he took a chance of giving me a few little jobs, a few bits and pieces. And he was well in with the people at the Beano. And he heard there was a rumour they were starting these pocket libraries, these little ones, you know, digest size.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you apply there? Because they're looking for a lot of young artists. So that's a good idea. So I did. And I got in the Dandy Pocket Libraries. And I thought, well, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So I was in that in about 1981, 82. And from then, I kind of kept every opportunity I would appear and say, you know, any work on the Beano? And they'd say, no, we've told you no. So every year for 17 years, I'd send the editor of the Beano a new page that I'd drawn of Beano characters.
Oh.
And he would always, very kindly, for about the first 5 years, he would tell me what was wrong with it. And I bumped into him a couple of times at a couple of events, and he said, oh, yeah, how are you doing? I said, you still want to work for the Beano? And I said, yeah, I'd like to. He said, well, you're not good enough. I said, oh, okay. And then there was a moment when I was I had a very bad year. This is turned out to be a very long story. I broke my foot, and I had two great commissions, two great jobs, which in the 90s, I was getting like £600 a week just doing these two. So it was like brilliant work for a young man at that stage. But then I broke my foot and I lost the two jobs all within a month. And then I thought, oh, this isn't going. I'm going to have to apply myself now. I've just been lucky, really. So I thought, I'm going to sit down and try and get my dream job. And someone told me about a new TV animated series called Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Yeah.
And I'd seen the movie. I thought, that's quite a funny movie. So I'd like to be in on this.
Mm.
So I had two little photographs, pictures from the animated series. So I drew up roughs of the characters and all that, sent it to the editor. And she loved it so much that within 6 months, I was doing the entire book. And that really gave me the confidence to then approach the Beano and say, look, I think I'm ready.
Look at me now. Check me out now.
I've done quite a good job here.
Yeah.
And fair enough, they gave me a little tiny job to try. And then within about, it must have been about 6 weeks. Within 6 weeks, they'd give me every character to try. And just try that. Try. And I did everyone, and I did it spot on because I learned how to draw exactly how they wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they gave me Dennis, and I thought, oh, well, you know, okay, I love that.
So, so what was the little tiny job that they first gave you then?
I think it was
drawing Nasha.
Drawing his bone, Nasha's bone.
Oh,
his bone.
No, I'll tell you what it was. It was the Beano annual, but it was for like, this was in 1996, and it was the Beano book 1999. It was like futuristic, you know.
Futuristic, yeah.
And it was
you
one
seen
page.
It in the future.
That's what you feel like, because this is 2022, I'm drawing today. So I drew just one page that they asked me to do, and I just put everything into it that I'd learned working on the comics and that I knew from my being a kid on Wham, and everything went into it. And it, like every day then for months and months afterwards, I would get a new script just from that one page, that one illustration. I think that was the thing that worked, that tricked them.
Yeah, hard work paid off.
I think that's probably it.
But it sounds like you were a Beano fan all your life as a kid growing up, and that's the comic you wanted to work with.
That's the thing is, by the time I got to work for it, there were very few other comics about, and I to be honest, even though I wanted to work, I wanted to draw the best street kids in the Beano. Really, that was what I really wanted to do. I spent a year doing that in 1999, so you know, ambition achieved. I still occasionally draw them.
Tick that off.
But by the time I was in the Beano, all the other comics except for the Dandy and the Beezer had gone. You would know that, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there were lots of them, but there were very, very few. So I thought, I've got to get a good place in the Beano. I've got to make myself kind of indispensable in a way so that I can get work in the Beano, because otherwise I'm not going to have a job, you know, in comics. So that's what I did. I decided I'd do whatever they asked. I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't gripe. Mm. I've done a little bit of complaining and griping. Sometimes I don't do what they ask. But, you know, basically,
that's how you figure out, it'll be better if it looks like this. This is how I'm doing it.
I did that once. They said, no, just do it as we asked you.
Is that style of drawing, is that what made you want to work for the Beano? Because were you already doing that style of drawing, or do you do more sort of, I'm going to say, the Marvel style, you know, the more detailed?
Funnily enough, I've just done a top secret project where I've combined the two.
Ooh.
And when I went down for this job interview when I was 14 at London Publishers, they advised me not to do humorous things. They advised me to do adventure stuff. Mm. They were just getting 2000 AD together, you know.
Yeah.
And they wanted more people to draw like that. But it was the wrong thing to do because I'm very slow doing that, whereas I'm really quite fast doing the Beano type stuff.
A
so
big difference, I can imagine.
Yeah, but I've recently done some characters as in Marvel style. I don't know if I can mention this.
Wolverine the Menace, is that one? You got Wolverine the Menace? Come on, you got to tell us.
I'd like to see the whole of the Bass Street Kids, but in Marvel style would be it.
Yeah, as the X-Men.
It's not as dramatic as that. It's just one. It's just a two-page thing. I think it's for some charity thing, so you might have to wait until the charity decides they're going to use it.
Yeah, keep it.
Is that going to be in the future? Are you telling us about the future again, Nigel?
I'm very futuristic.
Just jump out your time machine, yeah?
I'm the man from the future. We'll all be wearing this in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
What was your favourite character in the Bass Street Kids, Nigel?
I like all the characters, but I always try and get Smithy in because you can have... Like I did one just a couple of days ago. All the Bass Street Kids are it was Christmas time, so they all got scarves and hats on.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, Smithy's got his swimming trunks on, snorkel, you know, because he's always doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So I like doing it, but I like doing them all. I even like doing the ones no one likes. You know, like Herbert. You know, the glasses who can't see.
Yeah, I like him.
I used to like Plug. Plug was my favourite.
I used to like Plug. And I liked Herbert, the one with the parting. I used to like it.
They're all great, aren't they?
Mm. He used to be a teacher, and I think, was there a policeman? I'm sure it was a teacher. One of them used to remind me of the guy on the buses.
Yeah, that's right, the teacher, yeah.
With the little it was a teacher, right? I used to like that guy. They were great.
Yeah, and they're still going. Listen, you should pick one up.
Did you draw me in the Minx as well?
I did do a couple of Minnie the Minx, a couple of Bass Street Kids. I didn't do a Dennis in those days. I wasn't good enough.
What qualified to be good enough to draw Dennis then?
Well, Dennis was the lead character. He still is, you know, because he's on TV and everything.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to draw. He's very hard to draw. His little secret, which isn't generally known, is that the two hardest characters to draw in comics are not, you know, Judge Dredd or Man-Thing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Actually, Desperate Dan and Dennis the Menace, they're the two hardest characters to draw. Mm. And if you look at when someone's got the knack, like Ken Harrison does Desperate Dan, it's beautiful. But anyone else
does it. You've got to get the chin right.
It's just never quite right because there's just something about him that defies logic in the way you draw. And Dennis is the same. You can think, I've got it just right. And you look at it the next day and it's completely wrong. Mm. And I've been fortunate in the past 4 or 5 years, I've actually changed Dennis a little bit by bit into how I feel comfortable drawing him, having drawn him for 25 years, you know, in other people's styles. I've finally got him to how I want it, and now that's the style he is, you know. And so if anyone now draws him, they have to draw him like me. That's very hard to do.
I've watched a couple of your videos, and the speed that you draw him at is amazing. Like it doesn't take you long to knock him out black and, you know, the black and red.
Do you know why I do that? Sometimes you see people, you know, you see people like Carlos doing great drawings, but it's taken quite a while to do. Yeah. And then they say that £25, and you think, well, it's worth it. And I thought, I would feel so embarrassed asking for £25 for anyone. I've got to do something that looks like it's only worth a fiver or a tenner. I've got to do it really fast.
Yeah.
But actually, I think that's great. No, they're amazing. Got a skill.
Like the speed you could do it at, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. The pen work, you know, the lines, looks amazing. Well,
I surprise myself when I see those videos. I think, God, that's not...
Exactly. That's not bad.
I'm thinking to myself, God, this is so embarrassing because people are watching me do it and now someone's filming me and I'm so slow. And then I do it and I thought, oh, you see it and you think, oh, no, that was all right there.
Yeah, that was all right. That's not bad.
Talking about another popular character, a free one at that, Banana Man.
Banana Man.
Like, well, love the cartoon, love the comics.
Guys,
yeah.
Yeah, as you guys probably remember, he was in the Nutty comic.
Started off in the Nutty,
and then he was on TV with the goodies doing the voices and that. And,
it was back in 1980, wasn't it, the year?
I didn't realise it was the goodies that done the voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to love the goodies, man. Oh, I used to love it. It was so fun.
Banana Man's your ideal show, then, isn't it?
Yeah.
The goodies and Banana Man. Yeah,
Banana Man. I used to love that.
They should show them again. They were quite good.
They should.
Yeah, they are.
Why don't they make them again? Why don't they make Banana Man again?
Well, the interesting thing is there may be a movie of Banana Man coming.
Oh, yeah?
It's been mooted, I think that's the right word, a few times. And there's actually pre-production happening, so you know I can't give
on
you
a live big... action or an animation. What are we talking? Live action or animation?
Well, all I can tell you is if you can imagine David Hasselhoff in Banana Man costume, that's what it'll be. Although he might not be.
I don't know if I want to see.
No, I don't want to imagine David Hasselhoff in a Banana Man costume.
Well, you know, there you go.
Is so, that something that you drew?
Along those lines. No, I've never actually done it, but now you've said it, I might. That might be my
there you go. Hoff and a banana. I don't want to see that.
I drew a banana. I don't want to. I did one of them a few weeks ago where he's going through a revolving for the cover of the Beano because he's in the Beano now.
Everyone.
And he's pushing his way through a revolving door like in Lewis's John Lewis, you know. His way through. And he's coming out as Banana Man, but with an ordinary suit on over his costume. So he looks ridiculous, you know. Yeah, he's got glasses over his glasses mask. You know, so he's kind of got a little bit wrong. That was recent. That's about 2 weeks ago.
Brilliant.
Whenever you see a bit of merchandise of Banana Man, I drew that.
Oh,
so that's nice. Interesting. You know, if you see like a T-shirt or a beach towel or a... Yeah, that's me. I've drawn that.
You're the man.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, you've done various illustrations and drawings with the Beano and Dandy, but didn't you also do drawings for other magazines? Like, didn't you do like a Baywatch strip, a Grange Hill strip, I believe?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of strips over the years. The Grange Hill was interesting because. I got that because I was doing a listings magazine in Liverpool, a bit like Time Out, but it was called Next 14. It was the next 14 days. And it was in 1980, whenever it was, 1985 or 6, something like that. And there was a TV show made in Liverpool called Brookside at the time, which is quite a big...
Oh, yeah, 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 we remember it. We know Brookside. Yeah.
Under the patio.
Under the patio, yeah. Anyone in Liverpool with a patio, that's the first thing. I live in an apartment, a flat, you know, so I don't have one. But, and we thought, we should do something about this. So I made a cartoon strip. And we called it, of course, Backside instead of Brookside. Yeah. And, of course, the people at Brookside were not that amused by it. They were a bit amused by it, but not that amused. And they did ask us to go in and have a little chat. So we went in and had a little chat. And the upshot of it was we could continue it as long as they okayed it. And they also gave us some extra work because Phil Redman wrote both Brookside and Grange Hill. Yeah. Was his company.
That's right. Yeah.
So, So I ended up doing that. And... it was. I didn't really enjoy it.
You know what? Oh, why not?
Because it wasn't really my kind of thing. It's like, oh dear. At one point, they asked me to write it as well, which is also not my kind of thing. So I was having to write and draw it.
All right.
It wasn't really my kind of thing. But, you know, it was work, and I was a fairly young man at the time, so I just got on with it and did it.
Yeah.
But the same magazine that did the Grange Hill strip at that time Fast Forward. Also wanted to do a Baywatch strip. And they asked me to do it, and so I drew that. But I did it in a slightly different... I didn't do... Grange Hill I did kind of, not realistic, but a bit more realistic than you would expect from me, you know, seeing what I do in the Beano and the Dandy now.
That's how you imagine Baywatch to be, more realistic.
No, but Baywatch was a little bit more towards the cartoony, you see. It was like between the two. Because I didn't think we could really get away with drawing Pamela Anderson in a very realistic way in a kid's comic. Older readers will know what I mean. So it's going to have to be kind of a little bit cute, a little bit funny, you know? And so we did it like that. And it went quite well. It ran for about 2 years, and it was good fun, really, because after about a month or so, I started to really enjoy doing that. And it went really well.
Enjoyed drawing Pamela from then on, did you?
Well, it wasn't so much Pamela, it was a couple of the other... anyway, never mind.
I vaguely remember that, actually.
Yeah, you see.
Also, you was involved with a lot of the Gerry Anderson works of like the... Thunderbirds, Terrahawks.
Terrahawks, good question.
Yeah.
Stingray.
Well, the Terrahawks was... it was like brand new. It was a new thing.
Yeah,
and good. I heard about it, and I banged off a sample page to Looking comic, which was big at the time.
Lovely.
And I don't think I ever heard back from them. So I didn't get that gig, but I did get the Thunderbirds Stingray gig a few years later, because I heard that it was. I happened to be in. Where was I? I was in a hotel in London. I was at some event, and they put me up, and I got a Gerry Anderson fan magazine, and I opened it. And they said Thunderbirds is coming back on BBC Two, 6 o'clock in the evening. I thought that's a good slot. You know, a lot of people will see it. Yeah, families, not just kids or adults. And there's going to be a new comic based on it, run by the guy who used to write Thunderbirds for TV and do a comic in the 60s called TV21, which was a big deal in my day. So I thought, right, I'm going to go and see him. And it was only over in Mornington Crescent. It was like, just get on the tube and pop up there. So I went up there and saw him. I kind of, I didn't really demand to see him, but I didn't leave until I had seen him. And first thing he said to me was, nice shoes. And they were good shoes. They were actually blue suede shoes.
Blue suede shoes.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
your lucky shoes, mate.
Well, now. So that was it. You know, that was a good moment. And he said, yeah, all right, I'll give you a chance. And I did quite a few things. With Alan Fennell was his name. If you ever see Thunderbirds or Stingray or UFO or any of those things, his name's at the end. And he gave me a chance with that. And it was great, because at the time I was still doing Grange Hill, and I was still doing something for the Radio Times as well, and Baywatch. And I think I was doing something for the Dandy. So it was a very, very
good. How many drawings were you doing a week? How many drawings do you reckon you were doing a week at that time?
It's been non-stop.
Well, I've at the moment, it's a slow time. Not just because of the insane world we live in today, generally speaking, over the last 12 months, it's been a slow time. But I've done like 20 pages a week when necessary, you know.
Yeah.
And when I was doing all that stuff, it was quite complicated stuff, drawing all the Thunderbirds and that. And that was more realistic than I'm known for as well. So that was... You had to kind of rein in any humorous aspects and make it more serious. So you couldn't really do 20 pages of that, but I did, I think, like five pages in 1 week.
Wow. But he didn't make no mistakes and draw like brains in Baywatch and go, oh, damn, he's not meant to be in that cartoon strip.
This is actually top secret. I just did it yesterday. Yeah. I actually drew the same character twice in the same picture. Because that's the only time I've ever done.
What was that for?
Like for the Beano, for a front cover. It was like a big stretch of about 200 characters all sitting watching or something, you know, in the bleachers, you know. I did one character this end. By the time I got to the other end, I thought, oh, I haven't done him. And I realised when I sent it off, oh, I did actually.
So it's still in. Did it get left in then, Nigel? You left it in?
Well, we don't. Yeah, I left it in, and we don't know whether it's going to be printed.
That'd be quite good. I'll have to look out for that.
But I'll put it out here. Yeah.
We'll have to put that up on
our
page.
Wanted image. Say,
special edition. It's got two of the same character in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, point it out. Yeah.
It's going to be like one of them 20p's with no date. A few years back, everyone wanted that 20p with no date. It's going to be like that.
Yeah. Well, like the 1933 penny, you know, which they only made like six of them or something. So. Yeah. We always used to be looking through our change, you know, when we were kids. I tell you what is confusing, though, just on the general point with doing comics, is that sometimes, like 2 weeks ago, I was doing a Christmas thing, and then the week after, I was doing a summer thing, and now I'm doing autumn things, and then next week, I'll be doing another Christmas thing.
Christmas. So
it's like, it's Christmas comes five times a year for me. You know?
What would it be? You must know where you are at the moment.
Very hard.
Groundhog Day for
Then again, everyone's having Groundhog Day at the moment, aren't they? So it's not that unusual.
Yeah. But how many times have you drawn Father Christmas this year then?
Oh, this year, I don't know.
That many?
I think we've done about 5 stories with him in this year so far, gets everywhere. Well, you know me, I'm the man of the future. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
When you start off in the business, when you ghosting, as we say, someone else's style, is that it has to be spot on because readers do notice it. They relax that a little bit nowadays and people are a little bit freer to do it, which, you know, in my opinion, isn't that great. But it's harder. It's harder to find people who want to ghost. Everyone wants to be their own style. But I didn't mind. You know, it was years before they printed my name. I used to be anonymous. Yeah. I know. You know, people are surprised that I go back to 1980. That was my first published work. And they think I started in about 1997 because that was when they first saw my name. You know.
Yeah.
But I've been, you know, working hard for many years.
The undercover cartoonist. They're right.
He didn't want the credit back then. Didn't want the credit.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The very first thing I did was. You're just happy to get paid, you know, that's the thing. Mm. Even the DC Thompson, who famously don't pay the top rate.
Mm. Yeah, but you're just happy to be drawing the characters
happy
you love.
Happy to work, The very first thing I did put my name on it, but when it was printed, I noticed it had vanished.
Oh,
there you go.
Just like that. So I'm wondering, Nigel, can you answer this question for me? I've always wondered. Who came out first? Which character came out first? The American Dennis or the UK Dennis?
Well, this is one of those really weird... This really is a weird trick. they both came out the same week. In fact, they might have come out the same day.
Yeah. The same day?
How was that?
Because the American one was first published on the 14th of March 1951. And the British one was in the Beano, which had the cover date 17th of March 1951, which meant it was out up to a week before. They might have come out on the same day. Either way, they came out the same week. And that's a very, very weird coincidence. There's no other example. No, that's the interesting thing, you see. The American one and the British one, completely independent.
I always thought the American one was later and the British one was the
No, they started the same... They started the same day, I believe the same day.
And they're very similar looking also.
Both got the stripy tops.
Stripy tops.
How did one not see the other then? How did that not?
Yeah, they're both called Dennis the Menace. It's just...
I know. It's I've got a book. Look, I've got the American one.
Straight so the book.
Oh, well, oh my...
It doesn't mention us at all, which it's a shock.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
Well, we always mention him when we do a book about Dennis. I don't know. Well, it's just one of those weird coincidences. Yeah. No one knew about it for a while because it wasn't like today where you instantly get news from America. You can, you know,
exactly.
You
can, it went on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's on Instagram. Yeah, it's good. I'd get that for my country. Yeah.
It was
just a crazy one.
You know, a week, to get a newspaper from America, a month to get a magazine, and it was years before anyone noticed.
So after all these years, why don't they have a show together or a strip together, and why does one visit one's country and cause a big menace in town?
Do you remember years and years ago there were these big Marvel and DC books where they had Spider-Man and Superman and Batman and
mashups,
Thor,
whatever.
They'd be fighting, and you think, why didn't they think of that before? Well, I keep saying to them, let's have their Dennis and our Dennis, and I think they won't hear it. And the reason why is because they have a sort of a gentleman's agreement between King Features, who do Dennis, and DC Thompson, who do our Dennis, that we won't publish anything in their country called Dennis the Menace, and they won't publish anything in our country called Dennis the Menace. We'll change the name when we're in each other's country. Right. And we kind of ignore each other, you know.
So it'd be wicked to do one together.
Do you know what, though? It would be so unfair because our Dennis would completely trash their Dennis.
It could be like his evil twin, isn't it?
With a dog.
Like they do in Family Guy with Stewie, when he has his evil twin. They do the same thing.
Well, you know, I'm all for it, but I can assure you they'll never do it. And it's a great pity, because it would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
In case the secrets come out.
That's why we've changed the name of our... we've got a TV show that's just starting a new series, I think, this week or next, called Dennis and Nasher, because we're selling it to America as well as other places, so we can't really call it Dennis and Menace anymore. That's why.
So what channel is that coming out on for the UK, Dennis and Nasher?
It'll be CBBC here, and it'll be the Cartoon Network in America, and it'll be in Australia. France has got it. Greece are getting it. Canada, it's all over.
That's good.
Oh, nice. So, you also made a superstar's dream come true, didn't you? You also made Sir Paul McCartney's dream come true, a little drawing for him, didn't you, Nige? Tell us about that.
Well, okay. Well, the thing is this, right? When the Dandy was going, it's in this last year or two, they did a lot of jokey stuff about celebrities. You know, we did, if you remember, Jedward, we did Dan.
Okay.
We did Simon Cowell. We did anyone who was famous, we did a little bit of a spoof on them. And when we heard that the Dandy was going to close down, I remembered that Paul McCartney had said many years ago, like in the 60s, that his ambition was to have his picture in the Dandy. Yeah. So I got in touch with him and said, it's now or never. And he said, go ahead. And I said, do you want to see it before we print it? And he said, no, I trust you, man. I'll tell you what was really good, though, is when we printed it, he couldn't get a copy in his local shop because it had sold out. And so he asked me to send him one. And I didn't have one because my subscription had expired 3 weeks before. And so I had to ask the office to send me one. And they said, well, we haven't really got one. I said, it's not for me to perform a card. Suddenly they sent it to me.
Of course they did.
So I sent it to him. Yeah. And then a week or so later, I did manage to get some. I sent about five copies for his, he had a little daughter. She's about eight in those days. And some grandkids. So I sent him a few copies for them. And about a month after, I got an email from him, and he said, being in the Dandies made me feel like a real star at last. And he said, some people in my family think it's the best thing I've ever been connected with.
Forget his albums, forget his songwriting, forget his catalogue, it's that picture in the Dandy.
He's in the Dandy,
you know the guy from the Dandy, Paul McCartney.
It was quite interesting because in Britain, the story was the last issue of the Dandy, quick run and get it. All around the world, it's Paul McCartney
has a trip to be in the Dandy. But that good sales out.
We printed an extra run. We sold
extra
a million copies.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we printed another. I think about another 250,000 on top of that. So it was a big deal. Cool.
So yeah, Nigel. So after Paul McCartney got his, you know, picture from the Daddy, did any other celebrities want to speak to you and want drawings from you?
Any I get asked all the time. Yeah, I got asked all the time. Before I did Paul McCartney, I'd done that Harry Hill strip in the Dandy. Because I kind of knew him a bit. We'd met him, I'd done some drawings for him. And then the Dandy editor suggested we have a celebrity sort of guest edit the Dandy.
Yeah.
And he said, you know Harry Hill, ask him if he'll do it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think he will.
Your contact.
He's a bit busy. Yeah, because you know he was every week he was doing TV burp, and that meant he had to watch a lot of TV every day.
Yeah,
and no one wants that job, you know. Yeah. So I phoned him up and asked him, and before I'd even got the words out, he said, "Yes, I'll do it."
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, so I had to figure out a way of making it happen, and it worked out okay. It was very, very hard work for me to do, even though I enjoyed it very much because I assumed someone would write it and I would draw it. But no one wrote it, so I had to write it as well. And as we've discussed, I don't really like writing.
Doing the both.
Yeah,
I don't really enjoy it, but I had a go, and it seemed to work really well. So,
did Harry ever say he was a fan of the Beano? He looks like a fan of the Beano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like one of the Bash Street Kids.
Harry was actually done Harry Hill in a Bash Street Kids story about 3 years before this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'd actually met him by then, so I did tell him it was in, and I think that was in the back of his mind that would be quite good if he did it again.
Yeah.
And it ran for about 15 months in the end. Just the other week, I had to draw Zoe Ball. She was doing something on radio, I think, and what's his name? Ramesh.
Ranganathan.
That's him. He's in the Beano this week, actually. It's on sale on Wednesday. So
he's popping up in everything at the moment, isn't he?
He's a funny guy.
I don't mind Ramesh.
He's very funny, lad. And I've drawn him. In fact, he got a two-page special in the Beano this week, this very week, which is June the... Oh, well, it's a few weeks ago when you listened to the podcast, but it's this week for us living it now.
Yeah.
Is there room for a new character? Are you going to create a new cartoon character?
I've done new characters. I did a couple of new ones for the Beano in the previous 10 years or so. I've done characters with other publishers. I've done characters with a guy in Liverpool called George Nicholas. We came up with a character or two once. But I don't like it because you have to put too much effort into protecting the integrity of the brand, making sure no one rips you off and all that kind of thing, rather than drawing or coming up with the idea. So I'm quite happy just drawing and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask you again. Can you just tell us on the sly what this Marvel Beano combination is?
It's not as exciting as I've made it sound. I've drawn Dennis and Nasha doing a thing where they go through a portal and they're reimagined as Marvel characters.
That sounds all right. Yeah, that sounds quite
good. Okay.
Well, doing the dog was interesting because, you know, when you think about it, Marvel isn't known for its dog characters. Mm. But I had to do... And I did... I'd, at first of all, I was thinking, shall I do it Jack Kirby style? Because he's probably the most original kind of look. Yeah. Or shall I do it like the John Buscema or Ron Romita style? Or one of the newer guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought... You know what, I'll just draw it as if I was drawing for a Marvel.
Sort of
realistic. Yeah. And I did it, and I was surprised to find the amount of... So it's not what you think. I was surprised to find... You might not have heard of him, but a guy called Mike Weston who used to draw Fleetway comics in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And it turned out it looked just like he'd done it. And I was pretty pleased with it because a lot of people like his style. It's got got a very lush ink style with like brushwork kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of look, you know. But I don't even know if it's going to ever be used. But if it's not, I'll bring it along and show you.
So I can predict the future also.
Oh, go on.
And I reckon that you're going to draw a picture of us three. It's going to look really good.
I can see it.
Yeah.
What you're going to have to do is send me some pictures of how you like to see yourself, some photos, and I'll do that sometime next week.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
I can send
you. That's amazing. That.
We're trying to use them with the launch of the podcast. Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah, you could use that for the publicity online. And it's a great shame I couldn't come down to the studio because
it was.
I haven't met the two of you at Olympia, and now seeing the three of you, I know it would have been a right old laugh. We've had a good old time.
Yeah, we could have those beers with you.
Yeah, there you go. What are you going to do?
Exactly. But Nigel, when all this madness is over, let's just meet, have a beer. Anyway,
let's do it anyway. Who knows what the future holds? Oh, that's right. Me.
Oh yeah. Nigel, what's going to happen? Where are we going to meet? What time? What day?
Oh, well, only I know.
Oh, excellent. So, Nigel, look, it's great talking to you. As I said, you're an inspiration. It's inspiration to us, inspiration to loads of people around the world.
Oh, great.
Keep putting pen to paper and doing your thing, brother. Love it.
That's it. That's what I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was brilliant, man. Yeah, man. Like, Beano. But I can remember back being little, and those pamphlets, I'll say it again, those pamphlets, man, those little booklets, man. I used to get the Banana Man ones, man.
I forgot about them. You'd have a stack of them. It's coming back to me more now, thinking about it.
I love that. But no, it's great having him on. And I hope you guys enjoyed it too. Until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining the Old School Memories with us. Peace.
Peace.
Days I remember.